Hi, everybody. So before I start, I think I went to see the show, the Mexican show here, and looking through the artists, I started remembering, like, when I was in Mexico and I saw some of the art, but always comes to me, like, how perseverance most of these artists were in the gallery. So I was talking to Laura, and I was thinking, like, what kind of story I can tell? So we decided to tell you a little bit how this question, how you become an artist. So I have really humble beginnings. My family comes from a really, really, really humble family back in Mexico, especially Veracruz. I'm from Mexico City originally, and I moved to Veracruz with my mom and my grandma. And I remember I started getting really curious about a lot of things. One of the things that I was curious about was, well, what's up with the bird? What's up with the rabbit? What's up with the frog? Why they are so weird? my partners in crime were my brothers and my cousins, and, you know, we used to run around the towns, just get in some trouble. And one time, going around this little town, Coatepec, we saw an art class going. And, you know, so you guys can understand a little bit, my grandma, she always taught me to, everything is free. Everything should be something that is related to, you know, like kind of this humanism. And we should always be related and share the experiences with each other. So I saw the class, and it was a watercolor class. And they were making this school, this kind of like, you know, like landscapes and everything. And I sit down. And the professor looked at me, and he's like, "Who are you?" I was like, "I'm Alfonso, I'm just listening." And he like, politely tried to kick me out a couple times, and then he come to the last part when he's like, "Hijo de la chingada, you need to get the fuck out of here, or I'm going to call the police." And that time, my grandma was actually looking for us, and she grabbed me. And I said to her, "But why? Why I cannot have, like, that little thing that, you know, a pencil or, like, the crayons that they were using?" And she's like, "Ah, don't worry about it. Just come over here." We went back to the house, and my mom and my grandma tell us, "Tomorrow you're going to wake up, and you're going to go around, but instead you're going to grab one of your grandpa's T-shirts, and you're going to go to the train tracks and get some of the coal, and you're going to pick up as much flowers as possible. And don't forget to get the wrestler posters. Get the old ones because people want to see the luchadores. So just get those." So the next morning, me and my brothers and my cousins, they decided just to go play soccer. And I decided to just go to the train tracks by myself, and I collect as much coal as possible. And then I go, like, several wrestler posters and flowers. And I came back, and then my grandma said to me, "Oh, you forgot to go to with Don David to the parcela and get some of the limes and lemons that he has." So anyway, long story short, she taught me how to dilute the ink from the rest of posters to make my notebooks. She taught me how to make pencils out of coal. And most important, she gave me the four colors, which, you know, had to make pigments out of flowers. So, times went by, and I still have some of those notebooks. I think it's still in Mexico. I think I have one here. But anyway, so for circumstances that I'm not going to get too much into it, maybe that can be another story. We moved to the United States. My dad got the car ready. He said to me, "Whatever you say to the Border Patrol, you say you're going to Disneyland." I was like, "All right, sure. You fucking love, you want to see Mickey Mouse. You say the mouse." I didn't speak in English at the time. So we crossed the border, but it was so intense. Everything, I remember leaving my grandma, our time was short. I was 14 years old, and we crossed the border. We crossed the land, and even the sky looks different. It was blue, things were, it wasn't no dirt in the streets, and everything was different. And we get to Eagleton, Kansas, and by the way, this was like the year of 2000, and around Christmas, and it was really cold, and my dad forgot that we needed to put antifreeze. We were going to Minnesota. So we spent, the car, the heater started getting colder and colder, and we just stopped in Eagleton, and we decided to stay the night. Well, the next day, the refrigerator just blew up, so we stayed a couple days over there until my mom decided to just take the bus. I spent New Year's in a Greyhound bus coming to Minneapolis. So this second part of the story is my family worked really hard. We live in basements. We live with uncles that they overcharge us. But my mom never gave the perseverance going. And I learned from her not to ever give up. So she sent me to school, and I remember my first instruction again with art was looking at the school art that I was sent. It was an immigrant school. And I met so many people from Ethiopia, Somalia, Russia, Italy, and we're all there, all artists, all scared of ourselves. And I decided to try to make proud of my family because my parents were working three jobs. So I started studying and so on. So it came the time that I applied for a community college. And I wanted to be a journalist, but I couldn't even write really well. So I come across a photo class, and my first mentor told me to go into the arts. That's another story, too, because as I get into it, we were here like 3 hours. So with this perseverance, I start making art. I took my first classes of painting. The community college said to me, great, just give us the money and you get your diploma. I applied to the University of Minnesota, which is the gorilla of the city. It was really hard to get in. I got accepted in the BFA program. It was a trip because I studied under Morgan Clarence, and he was an African-American abstract painter, but met with him a couple years ago, and he told me the truth that he has no fucking idea how to see my art. So when I graduated, I was the only Hispanic in the arts out of CLA. It was 1,879 students. I was the only Hispanic that graduated from the arts. And that gave me more perseverance to continue. And I took a year off, and I applied to grad school. Coming to Baltimore, I came to this city with the hopes that because I was really interested in painting at that moment, and all the hopes and dreams, and I left my home. My mom said to me, mijo, just do the best as you can. You always have beans and rice here. They still live in a basement in Minneapolis. So I came here. I got hit by a car the first day of orientation. I broke my arm in six different places. At school, tried to kick me out, but my director, John Walmart, always said to me, what do you want to do? I called my mom, and she's like, well, she always has ways to say things. She said to me, well, why don't you just come back and just, be home again. But I got to go because I got to go to work. My shift starts at 10 p.m., and I got to come back home and make breakfast for your dad. He needs to leave. Oh, and by the way, he's 75 birthday, so just let us know when you come back. So I called back my director. I said to her, I'm staying. And from there, saw a couple stories. I was homeless a couple times. But anyway, so at the end, I'm here. I'm doing the best I can, for not only for me, especially this situation that we are in today. And now I'm making more surrealistic paintings, kind of like the museum is showing here. And they gave me inspiration to continue and put a voice for my people, which is the Mexican-American and Latino community here. I would like to take one last minute to dedicate this talk to the person that gave me everything to become an artist, and that was my grandmother. My grandma passed away 3 weeks ago. Our time together was short. She taught me about how to touch the water and listen to it, how to hear the bird and how to feel the wind. I just realized, and a lot of the things I'm starting realizing, because my mother kept a lot of things from me. My grandmother was one of the few indigenous people from the Mexica tribe, Aztec. And she speaks Nahuatl, and that's what I was always listening to her. That when she will mad at me, she will say these words that I was like, what? The fuck you saying? Okay. My mother, it's the same. My father is Spanish descent, but Mexican. So I would like to dedicate this to her, Doña Otilia. She's in the sky, and now she's the water and the wind. She'll always be with me. Thank you so much.